Hi everyone, I'm Jenny. I'm an alcoholic. By the grace of a loving God, my sober date is November 25th, 1981. Grateful for every single 24-hour period of that time. If you're new here, I want you to know that long-term sobriety is possible. I was 24 years old when I came into AA. I landed in treatment, came into AA, no intention of sticking around. And somehow it got a hold of me, and so here I am. I want to tell you right away that just recently I had cataract surgery, and I'm having another one on Monday, and I didn't know when I accepted Kelly's offer to speak that I would not be allowed to wear makeup. And so I feel just really self-conscious because I'm not used to seeing my face without glasses and without makeup, and it's really weird. And because I think of myself 24 hours a day, I think that you think about me too. And so I imagine that you're all sitting there thinking, oh my God, put some makeup on, you know. So that's kind of weird, but the good news is I can't really see you very well anyway. So every once in a while in AA, I think it might even say this in the book, I'm not sure, that somebody will say they just wish they could drink like a normal person. And I never wanted to drink like a normal person. I still don't want to drink like a normal person. I want to drink alcoholically. I want to drink to oblivion and not suffer the consequences. I don't want a glass of wine with dinner. I don't see the point. I don't want to drink a beer after I mow the lawn. I don't see the point. When I drink, I want to drink. And if I'm not drinking, I'm thinking about drinking. And so that's what Alcoholics Anonymous offers to me, is relief from that thinking. And you know, some people in my life who are not alcoholics say to me, why do you still have to go to those meetings when you've been sober for 40 years? And I say, well, I don't have to go. I want to go. I go to try to still remain teachable, to try to still learn things. I go to give back what was so freely given to me. And that took a while for that kind of thinking to come around. My drinking career was very short. It was a period of about 4.5 years. But in that time, from my first drink to what I pray to God is my last, I reached the chronic stages of alcoholism. I reached the point where I had liver damage. Because, you know, the burden of being me was so much, and alcohol relieved that for a while. And, you know, that's the way it was. I grew up in an alcoholic family. I like to say, if you shook my family tree, bottles would fall out of it. Long lines of alcoholics, and that did not, you know, for a while, I was afraid of alcohol. I hated alcohol. I hated what it did to my dad. And I was that kid, you know, that's never going to drink, never going to drink. And I didn't for a long time, but while I didn't drink, I was developing alcoholism. I was an alcoholic in search of a drink. In search of relief from that squirrel cage that Jeff was talking about. And so it was towards the end of my sophomore year in college when I went to a party and somebody handed me a beer and I drank it and it was okay. I didn't grow horns and a tail. Nothing dramatic happened. So I drank another one. And it was about the fourth one when I knew I had found my solution to living. That fear and emptiness and just misery in the pit of my stomach melted with that beer. And that's how I drank for the next 4.5 years. So my home group is New Brighton Big Book Study. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 at the New Brighton Family Services Center, and we read very specific portions of the Big Book, and then we talk about it. And last week, we're in A Vision for You, and it says in there that when we sobered up, we were afraid we would become stupid, boring, and glum. Now, if you ever had the misfortune to sit next to me on a bar stool, I can tell you that I was stupid enough to think that other people could not smell vodka when I drank it at work. I was boring enough to, if you laughed at something that I said, I would repeat it over and over and over and just get louder and louder and louder, boring. And glum, I complained about everybody and everything constantly. And so it makes me laugh that I'm afraid I'm going to become stupid, boring, and glum when I've already achieved that. Is Joe still here, their 5-minute speaker? Gosh, she did a good job. I lived in a halfway house for 6 months when I was first sober, and I have a friend from, that was in 1981, 1982. I have a friend, I just saw her a couple of weeks ago. She was up here from Texas, and we've been friends for over 41 years. And those are some of the we have promises in the book for the steps. But in A Vision for You, there's also some promises about the fellowship of AA, that we make lifelong friends in here. I know many of you out there. We march shoulder to shoulder, that kind of thing. I just, the fellowship of AA means as much to me as the program outlined in the steps, and has meant as much to me in my recovery as working the steps. Let's see. Today, I retired about a year and a half ago, and I worked for the same organization for 26 years. I owe that to you. Alcoholics Anonymous turned me into a good employee. I say this not in a boastful way, but they loved me. They treated me well. It was a terrific job, and it's made me a better sister. I have two sisters who are not alcoholic, but they love Alcoholics Anonymous. I taught them how to hug because I learned that from you. I said to an early sponsor, I love that we always hug each other. I wish that my family did that. And she said, well, hug your family. And it was really weird the first time I did it. It was, just really awkward and weird. And now, today, my two sisters, we hug each other easily. We say I love you easily. And that is just such a blessing, And so you made me a better girlfriend. My significant other, JD, is here. We've been together for over 19 years. We rarely have disagreements, except in the car. But having someone in my life where we're both willing to say, I'm sorry, or I was wrong, that kind of thing, is just really, really a blessing. And so many things, you know, a design for living that really works. It says in our book that we are undisciplined people. And so we ask God to discipline us. And like I said, the eye doctor said, don't wear makeup. And because I learned from you that I can take direction, I took direction. And, you know, all that kind of thing. It's such an amazing life. It really is. Because left to my own devices, I don't know how to cope with anything. You know, and the relationship that I have with a loving God. I was a sober for, I think, 20 years when I started to pray on my knees, and it made a big difference. Added some humility, I think. Helps me keep my focus a little bit when I'm saying my prayers. Those pages upon awakening, we ask God to guide our thinking. I have to do those things. I have to have a spiritual practice or I'm lost. The other thing I'll mention is I've had opportunities to do some service work in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have served as board chair at St. Paul Intergroup, some other stuff as well, and I have to keep raising my hand to do that because otherwise I will get stale. You know, I owe it to Alcoholics Anonymous to do some service work. And, you know, that kind of thing has helped me in other areas of my life. I attend three meetings a week. One's a big book study, one's a 12 and 12 study, and one's a speaker meeting. And now I completely forgot what I was going to say about that. I know. So our literature, I don't know if any of you have had this experience, that it magically changes. Like when we read the big book in our meeting, every time, I've read that book I don't know how many times, and I read it and there's something in there that wasn't there before that speaks to me in a new way, that I just am so grateful. Oh, I know what I was going to say about service work is I can't stay sober on yesterday's achievements. I have to keep that kind of thing alive. That's what I was going to say. And then finally, I wanted to say there were some women in Alcoholics Anonymous who have passed on who were very important in my sobriety. And Keith mentioned Carolyn Bingham. I just loved her so much. There was a woman named Alice Seeley at the Midway Club, played a huge role in my early sobriety. Patty Boats, Cookie Sweat, Esther Hall. These are women that just live on in my heart because they led the way. And if I could play just a tiny part in somebody's life that they played in mine, I have a lot to be grateful for. So I've gotten the 1 minute mark, and so I'm grateful. Thanks for having me, and I'll pass.